pleasure to introduce the second of tonight's speakers, who's Charlie.
Thank you, Shelley. My name's Charlie and I'm an addict. Not too bad. It's good to be here. It's good to be clean. It's the most important thing. There was a quote on Tottenham Court Road the other day where they got these quotes of the day where it said, you are unique. And so is everybody else. I thought Tottenham Court Road's getting very spiritual all of a sudden. I'm just kind of feeling my way about, so because I'm feeling quite flat, to be honest. I don't know if I've been ill for two or three weeks with some bug, and it just keeps coming back. And I went to a meeting today at lunchtime, and a friend of mine did a chair, and he does great chairs. He depressed me. You know, he tells great stories. And I thought, I haven't got any great stories left. I've told them all, you know. And I got into that comparing myself. And, you know, the madness of the head. Always, like, never good enough. Never good enough. Comparing all the time. And then I thought about it, and I thought, you know what, if we were all in here and we all cut our heads off, and we all threw them into the middle of the room, I'll tell you, I'd fight to get my one back, because I wouldn't want anyone else's. You know, but just that whole thing. And thank you very much, Jessica, for being outside the meeting this morning, and you saved my life. And thanks, Mickey, for asking me to speak up here. It's a privilege and it's an honour. I love this meeting. In fact, I love NA. It's the best thing ever. You know, if you are new, you might not find that, but this is beyond your wildest dreams. It's not something I say lightly. And, you know, get the basic text. And the new basic text got like 107 pages of, you know, what to do about your problem, how we can help, more will be revealed, recovery and relapse. And then at the end of that, after you've done all that, they said that the promises of what you get from the program is, and it says freedom from active addiction. That's it. That's it. But there's much more on offer. But that is what we get from here. And you know when you wanted to get one day clean? For me, and I couldn't get one day clean. And I wanted one day clean for a long, long time. I'd surrendered long before I actually got clean. You know, drinking drugs had battered me, taken everything, put me into a flat that was £7 a week with someone else, and we couldn't pay the rent. I was unable to work. I had lost myself, my respect. You know, I'm not going to glamorize drugs and say it was a good time, because what it does to you and the effects that it does to families, you know, I spoke to my daughter tonight, she's 38, and her mother got sober this year, and they had their first Christmas sober. And she said it was the best time they ever had. Plus, it was without me, so it was even better. But, you know, and I felt like saying, well, to my daughter, this is how insane I am. I felt like saying, well, do you remember when your mum gave me heroin? You know, just to fuck it all up, you know. And so you identify, don't you? You know, this is what happens in here. This is what happens when you get here. You get identification, and you're not alone. And you, for all these years, you know, you think that you're the only one out there. You think that the only one with this head that's insane and thinks all these things. So that's the intro. Done. It's a long time, 40 minutes, you know. But I'll get there once I get started. We'll be all right. Okay, then. I was born a baby. I've got to get you to laugh because, like, we can't have, it's not, you know, recovery's serious, but you've got to enjoy recovery. And this is a very tricky time of year. I'd like to all wish you a clean 2013. I don't want anyone ever to use, no matter if you don't like me, I don't like you. I don't want anyone to go out there and have to try and maybe get back in here and how difficult that is. I came to NA in 1982-83. I didn't get clean. I came to my first meeting was in St. Martin of the Fields on a Monday night, and I remember after the meeting they said that we're going to Charlotte Street for coffee. There must have been a coffee shop there, and I had to walk from here to Tottenham Court Road. It was like miles. It was, I thought it was the end of the earth. I mean, and you know, when you're using, but like if there was a drugs at the end, I would have been like, you know, I remember everything's going to be a bit all over the place, but we'll get there. Seeing someone on crutches going to the methadone clinic, right? And I was in my car, he was passing me. But anyway, so that was my first introduction. I can't remember much about it. And then, way back in the day, I don't know if it still happens, you know, people used to come and take you to meetings. It was a very small fellowship, and there was not a lot of meetings around. Everything was on the A4. The where to find was on an A4. So now you lot are all spoiled, you know. And they were in doss houses. And the toilets, you couldn't do a number two in the toilets. You were lucky if you could do a pee, right? There was, but people turned up, and I went to St. On Marlowe's Road. There was a meeting there in the hospital on a Friday night. I saw someone there that I knew definitely didn't use. Like, I hung out with them for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I met them maybe once. And, you know, when they say, don't, you know, look for the similarities, not the differences. And I went to another meeting. By this time, they had had enough of me, really. And they said, you need to go on your own. And that was my very first resentment, although I didn't know I had a resentment. But I thought, I'm going to go and show them. So I went to a meeting on my own, and then I had to go out and do some more research. So December 18, 1987. So last Tuesday, I celebrated 25 years of continuous clean. And it's passed really quick. That's scary, really. You know, after you get over the first... Maria's got a book where I wrote Keep Coming Back in her book. It's 1992. So that was 5 years, 87, 92. I don't remember it. She told me about this meeting we go to. I don't remember a thing. Because you've got to remember that when you put substances into yourself on a daily basis for a long time, you do damage. You do a lot of damage. I mean, it's not normal, you know? But also, when you're an addict, it's like Jessica said, it's not normal to be clean. It's abnormal. This is what we do. It's not normal. It's not how I think. I have to come here every day, really. You know, still this time, you know, some are sicker than others, right? But that's, you know, this is my second meeting today. I don't care. I'll get clean tonight. I'll stay clean tonight. I'm in the game. And you wake up, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. It says that at the end more will be revealed. You know, today's an exciting day. You don't know what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen when you're using. You got to find ways and means to get more every day to stop you being sick, not to get high, just to feel normal. How insane is that? Anyway, I never wanted to be normal either. That was not, that's not anything that. And on that Friday night, somewhere, the higher power, God, whatever you want to call him, God, I call him, gave me the strength to get one of these. The hardest one you got to get. And you only have to get it once. And I don't know where that strength came from. You know, when you use every day and you've got the obsession, it's impossible, really, when it's on you, to get it clean. And I had so much going on that was... It was not the day I would have picked either. And the more I stay in recovery, the more I see that things are not my doing, really. You know, the path. I mean, I had surrendered a long, long time ago before I found NA. I was looking for NA for a long time. And it came down my street. I got taken to that meeting in St. Martin's of the Field in a cab from the end of my street. I live on a dead-end street. There was a minicab officer there, and Israeli Danny had just come out of treatment, and I was working in the minicab office. Well, I wasn't working in the minicab office. The highlight of my day was I talked to the controller in the minicab office, and he felt sorry for me. So sometimes people would phone and ask for cigarettes to be delivered or some alcohol, and I had an old bicycle, and I used to pretend I was a minicab driver. And I used to, deliver the cigarettes and the alcohol on my bike. I mean, that was that was one of my good jobs. I'll tell you two other ones I had. My mum, when I went home once sick, my mum got me a job in a bakery. And I used to put the jam in donuts. And I had long hair and I'd have to wear a hairnet. I mean, it was the most soul-destroying thing for my ego. And then the other one was I used to mark kaluki and make sandwiches in a gambling spiel, and you don't get paid, and I got sacked. So, any lengths? So where was I? It's just amazing, really, about this program. You know, that I came in. And I didn't really know what to expect. I didn't know if I was staying. I had a file of Valium in my pocket just in case. I never heard, if you have any drugs or paraphernalia on you, leave them outside. It's funny that. I'd heard them once I got rid of the file of Valium. But someone said to me, Charlie, you were meant to get clean. And I really didn't know what they meant at the time. But, like I say, not even knowing anything about the program, I just felt comfortable as soon as I came in here. I just felt comfortable with the people. I loved the shares. I loved the stories. There was a crowd in 87 that all sort of hang out together, a lot of us. I mean, the whole meeting would go for coffee and pizza afterwards. We were all kind of looked out for each other. It was, like I say, the fellowship was small. No one knew really what we were doing. You know, it wasn't like now. There's a lot of recovery. I mean, back then there was Johnny H. And it's really important as well. And I always try and talk about Johnny H. founded NA 31 years ago with Dudley and a guy, Sean. Sean was from the other fellowship. And the other fellowship didn't want us. So Sean said, the best thing to do is you get your own meetings up and running. He actually found, I think, the first place, which was Milman Street, Robert? Milman Street, which was a DOS house as well. And that's where NA started. And Johnny died of liver, cirrhosis of the liver. But he was a lovely man, and he used to sit and listen to everyone banging on about nothing and You know, he had this great laugh. He always laughed at his own jokes. He was a hairdresser. It was the weirdest thing. He was like this King's Road hairdresser. And his favourite line, it was always, I hope I can say it right, was, you know, he came into a meeting and he had one shoe on, and someone said, you lost your shoe? And he said, no, I found this one. So that'll give you an idea of what he was like, you know, and the warmth. And he, you know, I always wanted his approval, you know, if he said, look, you know, you did a good share, or, you know, it meant a lot. You know, he was like, up there. But, you know, I got to say as well, we are equal in here. No one better than anyone else. We're all equal. We're on the, and that I think is really important. It's really important for the newcomer. If you've got one day, I've got 25 years, I'll tell you what, you know, some days you've got more recovery than I have. You know, it's not, I do work hard. I do work hard on this. It's something that I didn't always work hard on recovery. When I came in, I wasn't very well. I'm still not very well. And I think God in his wisdom said, you need someone to help you. And my friend Scotty, who was out there at the time, and I was banned from his house, and he asked me to take him to a meeting. And I thought, what do you want to come to a meeting for? You know, it was like my meeting, you know. And so anyway, I took him to a meeting, and no, I took him to, I think it wasn't a meeting, it was, we used to have, not where Stringfellows is, there was another place, there was a nightclub, we used to have meetings in nightclubs. I can't remember. Remember, Alex Higgins was there, he was in the nightclub, we were in the meeting upstairs. But it was mental. And it was on Shaftesbury Avenue. And he won the, there was a raffle, and he won the, like, the star prize. So I remember having the resentment with him. And then we went to a meeting. We went to Lansdowne Crescent. It used to be a big meeting on a Tuesday night in Lansdowne Crescent. And they needed someone to do the tea. And he put his hand up. And he hadn't asked me what he could do and what he couldn't do. And I didn't have a commitment. And so I put my hand up to do the tea with him. And then the same night, he got a sponsor. And I hadn't got a sponsor. I thought, you know, you need to talk to me about all this kind of stuff. Because we also worked together. And I remember, this is like so insane. We had a little convention in Regent's Park. And him and I went there. And the sponsor was on the door taking the tickets. And he had on makeup, right, and lipstick. I remember saying, look, your sponsor's got makeup and lipstick on. And he went, no, he hasn't. Right, he went into denial, because I was saying, you've got to get rid of him. He said, no, he hasn't. Right? I said, look! Big red lips. Morris was like, lipstick on. I mean, it was, I'll just try and give you an idea of like the early madness that went on. And he kept them. And I ended up getting a sponsor. But this year, August, I phoned him. He lives in Paris now. And I phoned him and I said to him that I was coming to Paris to celebrate my 10-year... I got married on the 17th of August, better get this right, with my wife, 10 years ago. And I said, I'm coming out to celebrate my anniversary. And he said, you don't know what day that... You probably won't remember what day the 16th of August was, 1988. And I said, no. He said, that was the day you took me to my first meeting. And he had 24 years. And I just sent him my 24-year medallion after I got my one. And see, funny how things work. I was thinking I was helping him. And it was the other way around. And it's been like that, really, a lot of my recovery, is that things that I think I'm doing, is, it turns out, it's kept me clean. And we're still friends after all that time. which is amazing, this program, you know, to have a friend for 24 years. I got another ex-girlfriend who's still a friend as well. I mean, you know, I met her at a convention. It wasn't my first convention. It was my second convention in Holland Park. This girl came over from New York, and she asked me how clean I was. Are you looking at me like that, for Maria? And I said, 8 months. And she said, I don't sleep with newcomers. But she did. It was the biggest mistake I ever made. No, it wasn't. We're still friends. I tell you, that takes a lot. You know, and we've made amends to each other. It was the three-week romance. A weekend. 3 days. So you still tell lies. I spoke to her the other day, and she's in a relationship, and all's well at that. And I'm just trying to think now, because I've got to make this interesting for you and make it interesting for me as well, and also for the newcomer, and to carry a message of recovery that you want to come back to NA and you want to get the gifts, really, that this is what's on offer. And this year has been the best year ever in terms of how a lot of stuff has happened, a lot of really, really good stuff. And when I talked about, you know, more will be revealed and what you get from this program, I didn't write anything down. All I wanted was one day clean. And then another day, you know, and I couldn't even go to a place of what this is going to give me. I was so damaged, you know, and I always sell myself short because, you know, basically why I used is because I've never ever felt good enough. And drugs changed the way I felt, and I became whoever I wanted to be, and I was always someone else. You know, from a very, very early age, as soon as I picked up, you know, as a kid, I picked up at 15. And it wasn't like now that I didn't have knowledge of drugs. I didn't know but they made me feel good. And they made me take myself out of me. And also, I lost things straight away from very early. You know, I had a little job. I was living in Edinburgh. I had a little job. I had a little flat. I was doing okay. I didn't even know I was doing okay. And I pick up, within a couple of months, the job's gone because I can't get into work. Then the flat goes. Before the flat goes, the women's furniture start going into the fireplace because I start burning it because I've run out of electricity and gas. And then I'm homeless. And then I'm living on the beach. And I was thinking about this the other day. I remember in Scotland, I don't know if the law still stands, but if you go to the police station and you go to cells, they would put you up for one night and give you breakfast. And I remember them saying, yeah, you can come in and stay the night in the prison. You know, to jail for a night because it was the best thing, it was the best sleep I had. And I got breakfast in the morning. You only get once. It was only like one day thing, but that was early on. So that was a kind of warning of what was in store for me. But the powerful, and how powerful this disease is, that, you know, the body recovers and then you go again. And then it flattens you again. And then you get up and then you go again. Till in the end, you're fucked. I don't know anyone. I bet you there's no one in here who can beat drugs. Possible. If you're an addict, you've got no chance. Yet, it'll tell you you're okay. Because this illness tells you lies. It tells you you're all right. It tells you, you know, if you're in a bad space, you're looking at me and you're saying, I don't know what I'm talking about. Because I've done that. I'm different. It won't happen to me. That's what I thought when I was with Adrian at that convention. She won't give me any grief. 3 days. You know, 6 years later, it was like, I get a phone call, you know, we need to talk. You know that one? Get the horrors, even thinking about it. And so then I got things as well. I have been lucky, really, in my life. I was in China 3 weeks ago, as you do. Now you do. International travel. I got off the plane and I went straight to a meeting. And in that meeting, there was someone from NA in the meeting. This is like how these things work, right? And he was there to have a weekend with his girlfriend, but also he had a newcomer there who was 17 days. So he said to me, "Charlie, I've got to go and meet my girlfriend, look after the newcomer." But the newcomer looked after me by showing me about and helping me, and I've never been there before, and it was like I was quite feared up. And, you know, now I made another friend. But that's how this program works. At the beginning of the year, while I'm on the international, I went to Hawaii. But this is what happens. I wasn't on a plane. The reason I'm telling you this, I didn't go on a plane for 24 years because I was terrified of flying. But I didn't know I liked flying. Because the head told me I was terrified. And I believed it. And the only way I flew was when I got carried on a plane and carried off. And it's not true what you can do and what you can't do. So anyway, I went to Hawaii and I stayed in this little apartment with Tom McCall, this guy in Hawaii. I think he's in the book there that I met in recovery. And I rented his place and I arrived in Hawaii, and it was pitch dark. My wife's driving me mad because, like, I'm driving without any lights on. I'm on the wrong side of the road. How are we going to find this place? Where are you taking me again? You know, this kind of stuff's going on. And anyway, we found it. And now these bullfrogs all night driving you mad, you know. I thought, why do you go for something cheap every time? Why don't you stay in a hotel? But at the end of his house, which was like here to where Mickey was, the beach. And there was no one there. Every morning went to the beach, walked on the beach. It was just like paradise. I mean, like, you know, I come from Inverness, Ladbroke Grove I live now. I mean, to have gotten from there. Then I went to a meeting and his wife's on the program. He wasn't there. His wife's on the program. Took me to a meeting. There was a guy there that he memorized. They say how it works. He did front and back, without the book, without the paper. He just memorized the whole thing, right? I said, "That's nothing." I said, "In London, we got someone who raps the 12 steps." True. Where are you, Pani? You should be here tonight. I give you a big Hawaiian G, right? And then, you know, from that I went to another island, one of the islands in Hawaii, and I went to an NA meeting there, and there was like three or four of us, and three of them were from prison. They get this thing now where instead of going to prison, you go to meetings and you sign the chit and stuff like that. But everywhere I went, I go to meetings. I put the meeting first, and all the other good stuff comes. It's just the way I've always done that. It's just that you've got to put the recovery first. And all the rest will follow. You can go to Hawaii. Anyone can go to Hawaii. It's possible, but you might not want to go there. You might want to go somewhere else. You might want to do things. And then I came back, and my boss asked me, I had to go back out. And I had to go to this place, Albuquerque. Anyone ever been in Albuquerque? No, either was I. You land, you're still 6,000 feet above sea level. It's the most bizarre place in the world. Everything's like an hour to get anywhere. And I'm all alone, and I'm in this hotel, and I phoned Tom in Hawaii. I said, "Tom, do you know anyone in the program?" He said, "Yeah, I know someone." So he gave me this number. So I phoned Ron, and I said, "Ron, is there any meetings?" He said, "Where are you?" I said, I'm in the Marriott Hotel. And he put the phone down. Then the phone rings like 5 minutes later. He said, I'm outside. Let's go. So then we go to a meeting there. I mean, then he takes me out to dinner. Then he said, look, I want you to do something for me. I want you to go and speak in this detention center. It was like, people were clean and using. It was a mix. And the longest was the secretary, I think, at 18 months. And I went in there and there was this man, there was about 30 men. And I shared and I tried to carry some message. And that was the deal. That's why the other stuff, why I was meant to be in Albuquerque, that wasn't why I was meant to be there. I was meant to be there and do the share. That was what it was, to carry some sort of message and tell these guys from Albuquerque they can come to London. And they thought that was miles away, but anything is possible. Anything is possible in this fellowship. By just, you need to do a bit of work. You know, you just don't get given all this kind of stuff either. You know, you've got to do some work on yourself, you know. So, for me, I've got God in my life. I've got a higher power that I pray in the morning, be kept clean and sober. The end of the day, clean and sober, thank you. I've got a sponsor. I've got sponsees. I read in the morning. I read the Just for a Day. With this book, I haven't progressed to that one now because there's four more pages. It's a bit more advanced, the new edition. And I do this cross-reference. So I read that, and then I read some other meditation stuff. And I forget it. And then I do this on a daily basis. And then at the end of the night, I've got this little journal. My wife buys me for Christmas every year, my journal, and I'll do what's going on. And I still fuck up. And I come to meetings. But the illness is really, really cunning, and the illness is really powerful, that it's only, like Jessica said, just for a day. Just for this moment, if you're really struggling. You know, that is all we got. But I guarantee you, you keep coming back. You don't pick up a day at a time. It's easy, I suppose, to say when you're having a good time. But I have had difficult times in recovery because you cannot stay clean for this amount of time like Alice in Wonderland. You know, it's not, it just doesn't happen. You know, my dad has died in recovery. That's been really difficult. I didn't know how to deal with it. I don't know how to deal with relationships. I still don't know how to deal with relationships, really, but I stay. See, like, I stay here. That's why I stay. I mean, I'm just thinking, do I risk saying this? But when I have a row, I will do it, because I don't care. When I have a row with my wife, I always think someone else is better. And they're going to fix me, and she's on her way out. But you know what I've noticed? Every time I look at someone else, it's my wife. It's the same person, which is bizarre. That's what I'm attracted to. And I looked at her today, and I thought, you know what? You are so beautiful. How lucky am I? But don't tell her. Christ's sake, don't tell her. You know, I'm blessed. She's putting up with me for 14 years in January, 14 years. Yeah. And she said, you know, I'm nuts, really. Oh, seriously, ask her what I'm really like. You know, ask the person close to you what you're really like. You know, I can come in, tell you about the steps, the traditions, you know, do this, do that, but she'll tell you, I'm nuts. You know. But, well, how are we doing? 15 minutes. What, five?
About 5 minutes.
5 minutes. Not bad, is it? It's been all right. Yeah. See, I can get very self-obsessed. No one on their mobiles out there. No one texting. I saw someone at the back a minute ago kind of put me off my stride. But, can I say, well, you know, what else can you say, really? Done the steps, higher power. Gary, what else is that? Means? That's what we do as well in here. I have really close male friends now. which I never ever had before. When I came in, I'd always girlfriends. But your male friends will tell you the truth. The girlfriends just tell you how wonderful you are, you know, but things change. And I have a really good group of people that I talk to. And they're into recovery, really into recovery. They're looking at all sorts of ways to improve their life and to have, thank you, and to have a better life. And that's what I want, because it rubs off on me. You know, when someone, when Scotty got that, put his hand up for that tea commitment, I didn't know. I'm very competitive. You know, really deep down, you know, I thought, fuck this. You know, I'm not going to be left out. You know, same as when someone would say, I'm on step four. What, you're 9 months clean, you're on step four. I'm 5 years clean, I'm on step two. I better get cracking. You know, that's the kind of, in here, you hear everything. And, you know, I have really wonderful, like this meeting, I didn't come to this meeting for years. I was like, you know, I'm from West London, you know. I went to Gloucester Road, step meeting on a Friday night, thank you very much. But I came here and I took a commitment, and I love this meeting. You know, I love the people in, the new people. And I'm not the most, I suppose, outward, you know, I don't say hi to everyone and that, but I am shy as well. That's, you know, because I want everyone to like me, you know, the usual, all that stuff of, you know, and people used to say to me, you know, I thought you hated me. And, you know, the people that said that, I really like. But, you know, I thought, if you get too close to me and then you find out what I'm really like, you know, you'll leave. You know, that's, you know, and I've been in therapy 20 years on top of this. But, you know, I didn't get clean until I was 39. You know, next year I'm 65. Can you believe that? I mean, okay, now I'll get my pension. You know, I mean, it's mad, mad. But I can't say enough. Honestly, I cannot say enough about it. And, you know, you've got to just keep coming back. You know, I know that, and there's people here, I mean, Julia, we met 20-odd years ago, and she went out and did a little bit of research for 20 years. And where else is it to go? Where else is it to go? You go out there and batter yourself more. Eventually, if you're lucky, you get back in here. I was with... Oh, I've got to stop this name dropping. Anyway, I was in Vegas, and I met this Red Indian. Amazing. He was homeless in Alaska, minus 52. He said, you haven't had it, bud. 52, minus 52. He said, I didn't even know I was homeless. I meet them, I tell you, I meet them. And but he used to pick me up from the hotel, take me to meetings, and we had the best time. We used to slag everyone off in Vegas. But I mean, in the nicest possible way. And he said to me, if you went back out there, Charlie, what's the worst thing that could happen? I said, I could die. He said, no. I said, jail. He said, no. I said, what? He said, nothing. Nothing. You're just out there suffering. Every day, suffering. So we've got a few minutes left, and I'll try and tell this. You've probably heard it before, but it's worth ending on anyway, because it's the end of the year. I was in New York, more name dropping, and there's this kid there, Polish, Italian, the best looking guy you've ever seen. Hated him, right? And he's doing the share, and all the girls are like this. And I'm like, you know, because it's always about me, isn't it? You know, from the minute you wake up. So anyway, he said he was talking to this old timer, and he asked the old timer, how many meetings do you come to? And the old-timer said to him, I come every day. He said, how clean are you? He said, I'm 35 years. He said, you're 35 years clean. You come here every day. He said, yeah. He said, look. He said, do you need to come here every day? He said, no, I don't think I need to come here every day. He said, how many meetings do you think you need to come to? He said, I don't know. He said, maybe one, maybe two, maybe three. He said, why do you come here every day? He said, I don't know what day I need to come to. Thank you.
Thank you, and may we celebrate.